We doing the intro?
Yeah.
Okay. Whenever you guys are ready.
Well, good morning, Mr. Senor Rabbi.
Good morning.
Brother, how you doing? You know, I've been away for a couple weeks. You know, I had to take off. I went to New Orleans. I went to Chicago. I was thinking about you every day. I was worried about you. I wrote haiku poetry, you know.
I appreciate that. We definitely missed you here. It was definitely not the same.
Uh-huh.
Not the same.
You say that to all your priests.
I only have one.
Yeah.
I only have one priest. But I'm really excited about today.
Today's a good one, and it's a pertinent one. It's a relevant topic. As we all know, it is towards the end of Pride Month. Look, we're already getting phone calls, and this is a podcast. Go figure. it's the end of Pride Month, and it's a topic that we haven't taken on, of course, but it is to some people a very hot topic. To some people, it's a topic they're like, what's the big deal? But homosexuality in relationship to scripture, homosexuality in relationship to our traditions, homosexuality in our culture. Mm. We're going to have a great guest on, a guest that you know personally.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, we are very excited to be able to explore the issue. And I think as we go forward with it, you know, it is for the ability for our listeners to listen, to understand, to see the issue, and to see from our guest the human side of it, the humanness of it, not to politicize it, but to be able to really engage in a respectful and a important conversation. So I feel really truly blessed to be able to have our early childhood learning center, our director Tammy Kaiser, who has been with us at the Temple Beit Hayam for the last 5 years. I think she actually started the same day I started here at the temple, and we have a great relationship. See each other every single day, and we have a wonderful working relationship.
And she is married to a woman. They've been together for a very long time, married for 5 years, but been together for much longer than that because she couldn't legally get married. They have three children. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be great to have her on here. And again, as what you say, what we like to do on the show is let's just get down to the ground level to see each other face to face, or in the Hebrew,
panim al panim.
Panim al panim. So it's going to be a show where we're going to be inviting callers. We want to have a respectful dialogue here, and we're looking forward to this. Leave a comment in the comment section, whatever podcast platform you're on. And we are just so grateful when you do share this. So if you're listening, you enjoy A Priest and a Rabbi, to please send this out and put it on your Facebook, Twitter, wherever, and just say, hey, there's this great podcast. We appreciate if you subscribe and to rate it and to leave a comment, because that's how we know what the next topic will be. We like to listen to you. So thank you so much for being here. And here we go for another episode of A Priest and a Rabbi.
The opinions expressed on this program are those of the program hosts and their guests and are not necessarily those of WSTU, St. Mary's Episcopal Church, and Temple Beit Hayim. Products that may be mentioned are not necessarily intended as an endorsement. Any reproduction or retransmission of this broadcast is strictly prohibited. And now, WSTU presents A Priest and a Rabbi. Call in with questions and comments at 220-9788. 220-WSTU. Now, here's your host.
Hey, good morning, everyone in Martin County. This is Father Christian, also known as Padre Cristiano. If I just wanted to quote last night's Dem debates, you know, everyone wanted to prove they could speak Spanish.
Or
they could just over each other. Maybe we could all just start speaking at the same time, and we would reflect last night's food fight. So anyhow, this is Father Christian. Next to me is the extremely good-looking rabbi. Someone call him Rabu because he's so cute. This is Rabbi Matthew Durbin. Good morning, my friend.
Good morning. So, good morning. You know, it never gets old. It never gets old.
It's every time. You've missed me. Yeah. I haven't been on for 2 weeks. I've been doing some traveling. Was out in New Orleans, was out in Chicago, but I really did miss you. I miss my rabbi.
Yeah.
So for everyone out there, we also have a podcast, and we would love for you to jump on your phones, not if you're driving, and subscribe, because we're on all major platforms. So whether it's Apple Podcasts, whether it's iTunes, Stitcher, you name it, we're there, thanks to our Miggity Mike producer, and for you to subscribe, because if this stuff is just so intense and exciting and you just want to share it with all your friends, you can, because we are on podcast. So today, you know, we are in the latter stages of Pride Month, and we do like to be current and relevant and which the church is usually 100 years behind. I don't know if that's the same thing for you, Rabbi.
Well, I'm Canadian, so we're always a generation behind.
Well played, my friend. Mm-hmm. Are you guys still apologizing for Bryan Adams?
Mm-hmm. And Celine Dion.
No, you can't apologize for her.
No. Dude. She's the national treasure.
And Alanis Morissette.
Dude.
You know, we could go on. We can go on. Jim Carrey. Tons of them.
I mean, Bryan Adams, yes, but the others. Americans
Our pride
love those
and joy
people.
Was John Candy.
Yes.
Well, I mean.
Yes, God rest his soul. Yeah.
That's why we share a lot in common, right? For your hometown of Chicago, right? Most of our the pride and joy of my country made their start in Chicago at Second City.
Yes, sir. So speaking of pride and joy, I was just down in Chicago for a vacation visiting family, and Chicago has a huge pride event, right? And I'm out there, and the line to get in was just stacked. So we're sitting there waiting in line. I'm there with my wife. And then there are folks who are protesting the Pride event, right? And so you got the signs up, and that they have the scripture quotations and bullhorns, and they have the cameras, you know, tied to the chest, so they're taping everything. So I, you know, as you know, I vlog. Shameless pitch here, your favorite Christian on YouTube. Look it up. And I said, well, what if I go over there and I get a little bit of some material here? As a dialogue, can I dialogue with my brothers in Christ? There's no sisters. Shocker. It was my brothers in Christ, and we went over there to go talk about this topic, right? That's a very hot topic. It's split the church within the Episcopal Church. It's split it in half. The Methodist Church is going through the same thing right now. And so I went up. I said, hey, do you mind if we, you know, have a conversation about this? And he said, the first thing he said was, well, are you a believer? I was like, yeah, I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. He's like, yeah, but are you born again? I was like, yeah, theologically, I would say, yeah, I'm born again. He's like, well, do you agree with what we're saying here? I was like, well, you know, I don't know if I'm really fully on board here. I think I want to have a conversation about it. He's like, well, then you're a liar. I was like, well, can we have a conversation about it? And the conversation went, you know, absolutely nowhere. There was no dialogue. And so I took the bait, and we went back and forth, and we were just quoting scripture, and that just really did nothing. So when I got on the phone with you, and to say, like, what's our next topic? I was like, man, we got to go for this. You know, we got to have a dialogue. We got to talk about this. We got to see from a Jewish perspective and a Christian perspective, what is scripture telling us? What is tradition telling us? What is culture telling us? And so that's what today's show is going to be about. And it would be just silly if we just had two straight men sitting around talking about this without inviting someone who is A, gay, B, from the other gender as well. And so we are just privileged and honored to have Tammy Kaiser, who is the director of early childhood of the Early Childhood Learning Center at Temple Beit Hayam. And Tammy, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
It's great to have you here. You are. Can you tell us a little bit? And we know that you're over at the Temple. We know that your education is a passion of yours, but you also have some background and some educational pursuits of your own of scripture study and studying the Torah.
Sure, absolutely. So I received my Master's of Jewish Education at Spertus in Chicago, and I'm studying for my Doctor of Jewish Studies as well. I attended the Mandel Teacher Educator Institute. I do a lot of biblical exegesis and in deep study.
Yeah, you throw on the exegesis word, we know you've definitely...
That I'm real.
You're real.
I'm real. You know, I'm a little disappointed, though, that you did not introduce me as good-looking.
Oh, and the gorgeous
Thank you.
Tammy Kaiser next to me.
Thank you. All right. I feel better now.
Yes, yes. I didn't want to
We didn't want to objectify. We didn't want to
yes.
objectify.
Oh, well, that makes sense.
So Ms. Tammy, so also, and it's, you know, you are a proud wife of your wife, and you have three children together?
We do. We certainly do.
Great. And how long have you all been married?
Well, we've been married for 5 years. We've been together longer than that.
Okay.
But our marriage was not legal.
Right.
So we actually had to wait. And we got married in New Mexico the day that we moved down to Florida, because I was accepting a job in Florida and it was not legal in Florida. So we had to get married in New Mexico. So it was a real kind of shotgun wedding.
Gotcha. How'd you feel when Doma passed?
Mixed.
Mixed. Okay. Can you say more? No.
No.
Yeah, I could tell. It's an emotional, definitely an emotional. Yeah,
it is.
It hits hard. Yeah. So we have the hour to work through all this. But what we want to talk about, and Rabbi, let me know that we today is about dialogue. Mm-hmm. Most importantly, how do we, especially in houses of worship, how do we take on these hot topics that are affecting many people's lives and can be leading to very divisive conversations? It can divide relationships. It can hurt people. And how do we have the art of dialogue to come back to learn more and to just jump in head first to see what scripture is saying, to see what culture is saying, and to have a dialogue about this, not really just trying to change each other's minds, but let's just have the conversation. So for any of those who are listening right now, you know, the phone number is 772-220-9788 to have really inviting a respectful conversation. If you're challenged by, if you're a Christian or a Jew or an atheist or wherever you align, and you are challenged by homosexuality, or you struggle, or you are not, you don't agree with the lifestyle, or if you totally agree, we invite a respectful conversation. That's what we want, a respectful dialogue where we listen to each other, working with each other. We'll be talking about all the stuff above. So let's start from there. So, Tammy, has it been, you are obviously a Reformed Jew.
Yes.
But even in the Reformed Jewish tradition, has there ever been a struggle, or has there been tension with congregants as being an openly gay woman who's married with kids?
Absolutely, absolutely. Yes, there has. And, you know, I have been so lucky, I've been so blessed in my life to be surrounded by people who, and I surround myself by these people as well. I make it, you know, I live my life with intention. And so the people that are around me, they know me, they love me as me. Oftentimes, they don't know I'm gay when they first meet me. And then I'm talking and I bring up my wife, or they meet her, or, you know, it just comes up in conversation. To me, it's just life. It isn't my defining. It's not the defining thing about me. So it's not like I walk in and say, hey, I'm a gay Jew. Welcome to me. You know, it's so nice to meet you. That's not how I live my life. So I think when people meet me, they know me. They know what I'm about. They know my studies. They know my passions. The fact that I'm gay, it's just another facet of me. However, there are some individuals, even within the Reform movement, who might not agree with my lifestyle, but I've always been able to connect on a human level.
Mm. And how do you approach that? Is that just your personality? That's just how you are? Is that a muscle you had to work on? Because I'm assuming there's been times when you've received it's been offensive, or people have been disrespectful, or it hasn't been a nice conversation, and it's tempting to want to just kind of lash back and really take it personally, because sometimes people are throwing daggers at you. How have you learned to encourage that dialogue and the conversation and without getting hurt or angry or mm-hmm. cutting loose?
No, it's a good question. So I do the same thing with people that I do with Torah or scripture. Assume good intent. You know, you can read something out of context, you can take something out of context. And if someone is speaking to you and they are feeling passionate about something, even if that passion seems to me to be so wrong, so against everything that I believe in, it's still real to them. Even if it's not real to me, even if I'm not connecting with that same level of passion or anger, it's still a part of them. So I need to try to figure out what's making them so angry. I don't have to match that anger. When I was younger, I did. Sure, I took it personally. But now, you know, nearing 50, I find more, I hate to use the word tolerance, but maybe understanding. Mm. You know, that we all come from different backgrounds. We all have different levels of education. We have different levels of study. And if you have been taught something and you believe that thing throughout your entire life, it's really, really difficult to change that.
Mm. And then was there a process where you're like, I'm not trying to change you? But you are staying a conversation, right? It's not like you are walking away from people who might disagree with your lifestyle, right? That do you enjoy the conversation and say, let's get to know each other, and can you just at least see me as a human being?
You know, that's an interesting question, because it's tricky too. Because am I trying to change their opinion? I think maybe I am, right? I mean, if I were to remain silent and say, well, you know, you're You're entitled to your opinion. You can think that my lifestyle is a sin. You can think that I'm a bad person and that my children are suffering. Really? Can they? I mean, maybe it is my job to try to change an opinion, or at least to try to educate, so maybe that person can change their own thought and maybe just look at me not just as a gay woman, but as a human being.
You know, I think it's important for us to also kind of give the postscript is, you know, both Tammy and myself will be speaking from a reform perspective, which is not a traditional perspective, not an orthodox perspective. You know, the reform, the way that I approach reform Judaism is regarding scripture, regarding the Torah, I take it seriously. I do not take it literally. You know, regarding the line out of Leviticus that says a man shall not lie with a man as he does a woman, which I think is a very challenging interpretive text that can affect many in different and a multiplicity of different ways. When I was in rabbinical school, I worked for a synagogue in the West End of London, and I was very enamored by the rabbi. And she told me a story, and this story got me very angry. After rabbinical school, she had applied for a position in a very prominent Reform synagogue. I won't say what it is, and hopefully my colleagues in Britain won't make the connection. She was told by the leadership and by the board, thank you for your candidacy, but I'm sorry we cannot proceed further. And it's every synagogue's right to, you know, you're not buying a pack of gum, you're investing in a spiritual leader, and I get it. So she pushed forward and said, can you please explain to me why the decision by the board to put aside my candidacy? Just so I can grow, I can learn, what have you. And the leadership had come back and said, we already have one gay rabbi. We don't need two. And what impression would that have on our congregation? So she said, thank you. I want nothing to do with you. And she pressed forward. A couple years later, I had interviewed for an internship. And I was given two positions. One was that exact synagogue to which she had applied to. And they said, we'd really love to have you as our rabbinic intern. And a part of me that said, and I think I said, I said proudly, I'm really sorry. I cannot proceed further because I perceive this community as discompassionate, just not understanding and not being empathetic to the values that we share as Jews. So I took another position. I worked in another liberal synagogue. That has stayed with me for 18 years. And I remember saying to the rabbi, I don't understand. It may not be the lifestyle that I choose for myself, but why would somebody else deny somebody else happiness? And I think that's always been my position. You know, I had a woman in my former congregation that would come in, and she owned a ton of property. And she came in, she said, Rabbi, I'm really struggling. I have two women that are gay that want to rent my apartment. I can't do it. Rabbi, it's an abomination. First of all, it's not an abomination because the Torah does not say abomination. It merely says forbidden. It's a forbidden relationship, but we can get into that later. And I remember saying, but you've judged somebody on their relationship. Is it for you to judge? Well, Rabbi, you know, God said, I get it. There are many things that God says. There are many things that we reinterpret for ourselves. But you're judging somebody else on their lifestyle that may not be for you, but you're denying somebody else love. And if God created us, B'Tselem Elohim, in God's image, therefore, doesn't God want us to be loved and to love other people regardless of sexual orientation? So it's just one of those things that I think as Jews, and especially as progressive Jews, that we take for ourselves to be able, and I don't like the word I don't like the word accept, and I don't like the word tolerate, because it's almost as if I'm saying I'm not really for it, but I guess I'll put up with it. Well, if we're all human beings, we have the capacity to love. And it's not out of the ordinary in Judaism. I mean, not only is it written in the Torah, but, you know, we have early rabbinic literature of the Talmud, where there are rabbinic sages that are in love with one another. You know, the most classic one is the story of Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan. And Rabbi Yochanan, clean-shaven individual, looks like a woman, right? Reish Lakish finds him and finds him really attractive. And the both of them study for years. And when Reish Lakish dies, Rabbi Yochanan is inconsolable. I've lost my partner, and not just my chavruta or my study partner. I've lost my companion, right? We go back to the Bible. Go back to the Bible. You have the relationship with King David and Jonathan, who love each other. And it's not just a platonic love. It is a genuine, I am enamored by this person. I want this person surrounded by me. So when I take these examples from our tradition, and I use it with the experience of others who have gone through severe struggles in their lives, I think that there's a pain and there is a understanding that we need to see somebody, as we've discussed before, panim el panim, face to face. Because one of the comments that the rabbi had said to me years ago was, the challenge I'm faced with is, I would never, and this was coming from the board. The board was very challenged by, if we have a gay female rabbi, or male rabbi for that matter, would they bring their bedroom activities on the pulpit? And her response was, of course not. But the straight male rabbi, do you think he would bring his bedroom activities on the bima? Well, we would never even think about that. Then why would you think about it from somebody else? And I think that that is such a struggle. And I think that it becomes personal. You know?
Yeah, I mean, we definitely live in a heteronormative culture. And you're looking at...
Sorry.
We all have to agree that, well, we don't all have to agree on this, but that the homosexual lifestyle, to even for folks who have no issue and are totally open to the homosexual lifestyle, there's still a part of a lot of us where it is not witnessed and seen all the time. It's just starting to see, you see this more in media, you see it in commercials, you see it on TV. But for a while, the homosexual characters you saw on sitcoms or whatever were more caricatures. They were more the goofy gay guy or the butch gay woman. It wasn't until really recently we started to see just normal characters that happen to be gay, right? And so it is still, for our culture, at least in the States, we won't even talk about the global South, but in the States, it's still, I think we're just not comfortable with it. I mean, I grew up in the theater. I grew up in the entertainment world. So it was never strange or different, just because it was just like, oh, that's my friend Corey. I mean, it's just Corey who happens to be gay. But for a lot of folks, it's not happening all around them, and they don't have good friends who are gay. So the human part is a little bit lost and is strange, right? And I'll admit it too, as a straight man, am I fully at a place where if I'm over at, you know, Disney World walking around and there's two men holding hands in front of me and then they share a moment of kissing, of intimacy? Yeah, I will admit that's still strange to me. Now, am I going to say that's because the Bible says it's wrong and that's why what they're doing is a sin? No, I find that more my own personal stuff, where I'm not used to it yet. So it's strange.
But is that not also because, as an American culture and American society, for so long, we have never openly talked about it. We have never, I think, look back to the sexual revolution. We didn't talk about it. Right. You have areas, you know, let's take Germany, for example, with sexuality. It's very open. I mean, you can watch things at 4 o'clock in the afternoon that would be shocking to watch on American TV. It's a more open and more accepting society than a society. And I'm not trying to say that America is a closed society. It's not. But I think we're pushing more towards a more free and more open society. I think that you know, it's... So let me go back in terms of what you know, as many know, I have three daughters. And I say this very proudly to my daughters. I don't care who you marry. I don't care if you marry a man. I don't care if you marry a woman. As long as certain parameters are fulfilled.
And what are those parameters?
Those parameters are to whomever you marry, same sex, heterosexual, it doesn't matter. Make sure that they truly love you, that they care for you, that they support you, and make sure they're Jewish.
My wife is Jewish.
Yeah, so let's earmark that for maybe another radio show, because I would challenge that, because there is an exclusivity there that you are saying that they have to marry someone who's Jewish, right? And I would say, is that the same thing as a parent saying you can marry someone who loves you, who I don't care what religion they are, they just can't be gay? Because you are putting specifications on there, and there is a delineation there. And I know, I mean, I just, when we talked about that yesterday, I was like, I think there's a little tension there. But you're open, but you're not, right? You're talking about an open society. You're talking about an open way of us approaching love and about romance and marriage. And the tenets are, they love you, they'll be with you, they're loyal to you, they'll be with you for life, but they must share your religion.
But you know, and I agree with you. It is maybe it's the easy way out, which is we can definitely discuss this at a later date. Inclusivity versus exclusivity. 8 years ago, New York made a very historic decision. Ironically, it happened to be on a Friday night, the beginning of our Shabbat, and New York said, we will pass same-sex legislation. And for those that remember, huge victory for New York. I think we, at that time, were the sixth state in America. Monday morning, I get a phone call from two women who had said, Rabbi, I would like to be married. We've been, our family, one of the women she had a long-standing tradition with the congregation. Her parents have been members and grandparents and everything else. And she said, I'm marrying somebody who at this point is not Jewish. She's Mexican. We love each other, but we would like to solemnize our marriage vows and to be married in the synagogue. It is very important. She was undergoing conversion. She had converted before the marriage. So it was the first gay marriage I've ever done. It was something that was really impactful and just a beautiful and amazing event. So we married them in our synagogue. And I got a couple members who had the pushback. Rabbi, not in a sanctuary. Why not? What does it matter? If it's in a sanctuary, if it's in a hotel, if it's on the street, if it's in the court, it doesn't matter. And they said, well, what does that do to the preservation of Judaism? So I called that person back a year later.
Preservation as in what? Like no procreation? What are they talking about?
Preservation in terms of procreation, in terms of continuity, in terms of, you know, what does the Bible say? You know, a whole gambit of different things. So I called the woman back a year later. And I called her into my office and we had a conversation. And she said, well, what are we doing to preserve the Jewish people? And I said, well, let me tell you. Because that couple that got married a year ago, they just welcomed a baby girl into the world. And they called and said, we want our daughter to be named and to become committed to a life of Judaism. So I, you know, we did this baby naming and it was great. And I came home and my wife had looked at me and said, you look terrible. Are you okay? And just those words, are you okay? I burst into tears and I said, that is exactly why I do what I do, is because those two women who love each other more than anything else and committed themselves to a life of happiness and a life of joy welcomed in a baby girl to which they are committing to Judaism, which shows the continuity of the Jewish people. It shows from generation to generation. Take it back to the woman whom I called back into my office. She had said, well, I disagree. And my comment to her was, with all due respect, it is not for you to judge. And remember, whose door you just walked into. You walked into a Reform synagogue, which says that we treat every single person with respect and with integrity. And what you've done is you've disrespected somebody to whom you don't even know. And I think it goes back to, as Tammy, as you had said, it's about the humanness. It's about seeing people for who they are, not for what they do, because it's none of our business.
All right, so I think the big question here is, and we're going to take a break, and when we come back, and I want to hear from you, Tammy, about this as well, because you're doing Torah study, is that the big question here, obviously, since this show is called A Priest and a Rabbi, is we have to look at Scripture. We have to talk about Scripture. We have to talk about the contextual criticism, the historical criticism, the analysis of this, and get into it, because we have some pretty big verses that on the surface can look pretty black and white about this topic, but we need to talk about the context, because it's messy, and this is what it all comes down to. This is why most of the Anglican Communion, as an Episcopal priest, disagrees with the American church about our stance on homosexuality. So we're going to take a quick break. The phone number is 772-220-9788. And we're talking about what's the art of dialogue and bringing back that art of dialogue, but specifically around homosexuality, a topic to some where people are like, well, who cares? But to others, though, it is they care a lot about it, and it's a struggle and it's a challenge. So we want to invite that conversation here on air on A Priest and a Rabbi. We're going to be back in just a couple minutes.
You're listening to A Priest and a Rabbi podcast. If you haven't done so yet, make sure to subscribe. And please leave a rating and a review, 5-star rating and a positive review if you can. We certainly appreciate it. That is the best way to make sure that others out there just like you can find this podcast. If you want to get in contact with Father Christian and Rabbi Durbin, you can do so by emailing apriestandarabbi@gmail.com. And the absolute best way to get a hold of the fellas is to call into the radio show. This podcast airs live on the radio every Friday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. on WSTU 1450. And you can listen live online at WSTU1450.com. And if you want to join the show, you can call in to 772-220-9788. That's 772-220-WSTU.
Hey, everyone. This is Father Christian here on A Priest and a Rabbi. So happy for you to be here on this podcast with us. And I want to let you know that I have started a YouTube channel called Your Favorite Christian, and you can check it out on YouTube. And every Monday, I drop a new episode, and it's always through the lens of faith, but taking on different topics such as dating, relationships, marriage, pop culture. I've done one recently where I went out to the art show and talked about how do we find our relationship with God through what all the latest artists are doing. Last week was What Do Women Really Want in a Man, and interviewing different people to be a part of that. So please check that out on YouTube. Subscribe, like, share, put on the notification so you get that every Monday. I also want to let you know of this podcast wouldn't be here if it wasn't for a generous donor from St. Mary's Episcopal Church who wishes to remain anonymous. All he asked, though, was that the information gets out that St. Mary's Episcopal Church here in Stuart has a healing center. And so you can call if you're looking for a counselor, someone to be there for you during a challenging time. And you can call the church at 772-287-3244. We also have a group of Stephen ministers who have been trained, over 50 hours of training, to be with you and walk with you during a time of crisis. They are not counselors. They are trained just to be more of the presence of Christ and walk with you during a time of crisis, whether it's a good crisis of having, oh my gosh, my daughter's about to get married, or if there's something a little bit heavier. So give us a call, 772-287-3244, and I thank that anonymous donor who makes this all possible. All right, God bless you, and enjoy the rest of the podcast. All right, welcome back to the second part of A Priest and a Rabbi. My name is Father Christian. Next to me is that Rabu that you love, Rabbi Matthew Durbin. And of course, today we have Tammy Kaiser, who is the director of Early Childhood Learning Center over at Beit Hayam Temple. And we are talking about homosexuality. We're talking about homosexuality in houses of worship, but also under the umbrella of how do we have a respectful and dialogue
around this topic, because we know for some, this is not a hot topic. For others, though, it is. And it still divides our churches. It divides our houses of worship, synagogues, mosques, and families and friends and communities. So and we know that there are some horrible ramifications that come from the exclusion and from folks' take on this. As we know, we are just going to get into the scripture and this second segment of what is scripture saying. This is an important part of this, right? And this is the bedrock of why people have very firm beliefs. But we know that when these firm beliefs are communicated, it can lead to very disastrous endings. As we know, bullying, depression, feeling excluded, suicide. We've seen the suicide rates just explode over the last 10, 15 years that we know about, right? So so we before we jump into scripture and start to dig around with Mr. Leviticus and then also look at Christian scripture and what Genesis is saying, we want to invite Leah onto the radio show. And Miss Leah, welcome to A Priest and a Rabbi.
Hey, thank you.
So what comments or questions do you have?
Actually, I kind of a comment more so. I just know that this topic is about having a dialogue around homosexuality and trying to work with a healthy dialogue. And I also know that the show is called A Priest and a Rabbi, so of course you guys are going to talk. But I was wondering if we could hear a little bit more from Tammy about her experiences in a synagogue. And as a gay woman?
Absolutely. You know, it was, I know that the rabbi and I speak for a living and we talk a lot. So I agree with you.
I agree too. It's a great question. It's a great comment.
And Leah, do you have any other thoughts or questions that would lead us to handing the ball back over to Tammy?
Well, I heard Tammy say that her wife was also Jewish. And
yes.
The rabbi had commented on Judaism being kind of one of his parameters for his daughters in the future. Hmm. And I was wondering, Tammy, if you felt the same way. Is that why you married into a Jewish family? Is that why you married a Jewish person?
That's a really, really good question. And no, that's not why I married. It is, it's wonderful that my wife is Jewish because we share so many of the same values. But even if she wasn't Jewish, I choose an individual based on their love, on their humor, on how they act in the world. And I do not believe that Judaism is the one all and end all. So no, I do not choose my partner based on religion or affiliation. And also for my children, for all three of my children, it does not matter to me. Love is love is love is love is love. Now, I completely understand where the rabbi is coming from. He is, after all, a rabbi. That's his job. Like, it is in the job title to make sure that the Jewish people survive.
We all signed, and I'm not being facetious here or belittling it at all. We all signed that are post-rabbinical school, you all know what I'm talking about when we talk about the pink slip, which is a form that says that we will marry if we choose to do so, that we will marry exclusively Jewish. If we do not, and we marry somebody that is not Jewish, our ordination is in jeopardy. We will not be ordained.
And now, is that true for all seminaries?
Yes.
Yes, and I went to Fuller Seminary where I had to sign a piece of paper that I would not engage in homosexual activity. So there you go.
Really?
Yeah, it's an evangelical seminary.
Wow.
Yeah. And then I transferred to Virginia. So,
wow, I'd be out on both accounts. Well, I mean, my wife is Jewish now, but I have been in relationships in the past where my partner was not Jewish.
Right. So Tammy, let's continue on here. And Leah, thank you for guiding the ship back to
our wonderful
Leah. Guest. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. And this is a beautiful conversation.
Thank you, Leah.
Thank you.
So Tammy, let's dig a little deeper. So the beauty of you for many things is that you are also someone who is studying the Torah, studying the scripture. And so what has been your experiences when we look at this? Because I'll tell you, I struggle sometimes as an Episcopal priest that when I'm looking at scripture, I have to do an intense amount of study in order to have an effective dialogue around homosexuality, because I got brothers and sisters in Christ who will have very, very adamant views and how we're going to dialogue about this. And it has to be documented. It has to be entrenched in scripture or we're not going to get anywhere. So when you read
Leviticus 18:22. Right. When you read Leviticus 20:13 and all these other verses, I know a lot of times we're just focusing on men, but sometimes they also relate to women. How does that affect you, and how do you approach that scripture?
Certainly. So one thing that's a challenge, I think, for people that are coming to this, maybe without the backgrounds that we have. I mean, we study this, you know, for a living. We did this in seminary or in college. And so we come at it with tools that the average individual out there might not have. The first thing to realize is most of us are going to be studying this in English. Right, I'm sure that you probably study in English. I'm sure that your congregation probably studies most of it in English, and that in itself is interpretation. Translation right. is interpretation. There are so many different translations out there, and Rabbi touched on that earlier. The difference between abomination and what was it?
Forbidden.
And you really, really need to look. This particular text was written in a time when the language that we have today was not available. It just wasn't around. Did the term homosexuality even exist? Mm-hmm. You're shaking your head, right?
Right.
No. So we need to look at Scripture not just in a literal sense, but look at it in an interpretive way as well. I know that in Christianity, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but allegory is a way to look at Scripture, to look at what the meaning is within the text, behind the text. And sometimes the words that are written on the page aren't necessarily the words that we were meant to hear.
I'm processing that right now.
You look like you are. I am too.
But I think Tammy, as you had said, you know, I think a huge part of it too is contextual. Mm-hmm. Have to understand the culture in which it is written.
So let's do it.
But if we go back, just from a Reformed Jewish perspective, you know, we say the Torah itself was divinely inspired by God, but written by man.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so these were obviously challenges and issues to which men had challenges with. Now we also know that around the fourth century before the Common Era, especially around the time of the Romans, right? We know that the Romans themselves, the Jews, I should say, themselves, were living in cultures that practiced homosexuality. Especially the Romans were invested and involved in cultures that practiced a lot of homosexuality.
And the Roman soldiers, too.
Yes.
You had the sword bearer and you had the shield bearer. And the shield bearer was usually a younger boy. And there was relationships between the man and the boy. So you could see where, from the Christian perspective, the Christian church would say, like, this the pedophilia is a wrong thing, right? And correct me if I'm wrong, I've heard this before, and my biblical Greek is stronger than my biblical Hebrew, which is basically nil. So I rely on you both here. That at times throughout Scripture, that because there's been some contextual criticism that the conversation is more about the relationship between a man and a boy as opposed to a man and a man. But I don't know, does the Hebrew ever, can you ever interpret that from the Hebrew? Or is it pretty clear? It's about no man shall lie with another man.
Well, I mean, the text itself says the word ish, which in Hebrew means man.
Okay.
Right? Na'ar in Hebrew would be like a young boy, a lad, you know, that type of stuff. So I think the Hebrew is pretty specific. But again, as Tammy had said, you know, it everything is interpretive. You know, I mean, even in rabbinical school, we go through a line that could take, you know, weeks to unpack. You know, we're not looking at it in an English translation. I'm not looking at it, well, I mean, we didn't really take Greek or Latin. I mean, I did take Latin in high school, which was a mistake. But
it's for those silly Gentiles.
Well, they said it was the closest thing to English, which it is not. you know, but what we do is, you know, when we're struck by something challenging, we go back to the original, go back to the Hebrew.
Right.
Now, Hebrew is also a multivocal language.
Sure is.
Which means it is, there are many different interpretations as English evolves over time, right? You got Middle English, Victorian English, Elizabethan English. You have Biblical Hebrew. You have Mishnaic Hebrew, Talmudic Hebrew. You have Aramaic. You have, you know, the language evolves over time. And with that evolution also comes interpretation of how language and words evolve.
Okay, so let me ask you. So you have a congregant come to you that says, Rabbi, I'm looking at Leviticus 18:22. It says, you shall not lie with a male as one lives with a female. It is an abomination. Now, of course, going back to a previous point, this is one of about 1,000 different interpretations of the Bible. And I'm not sure if this is the NRS,
this is not the NRSV, but you will find different words used depending. It's an art form to interpret the Bible, to translations. But so when they say, okay, Rabbi says that, that's pretty straightforward to me. Leviticus 20:13, if there's a man who lies with a male as though he lie with a woman, both of them have committed a detestable act. They surely should be put to death. Their blood guiltiness is upon them. So what do we do with that? And this is for both of you.
So I mean, for me as a rabbi, I interpret that and say I have to understand the time at which that was written. Now, this wasn't written in 2019. As we know, the Torah is the New York Times bestseller list, right? Hundreds of millions of copies, right? What does it mean? It means for me, I take that as this was a challenge to which was written biblically. And they were trying to understand it and trying to go through it in a way that only made sense for them. From my perspective, from a progressive Jewish perspective, right, we are remnants today of what we call Pharisaic Judaism, right? We constantly are evolving. We are constantly changing with modernity, with our tradition, and being able to fuse the two together. So as I mentioned previously before, I take it seriously. I do not take it literally, and I think it's an important point to raise to be able to unpack further. You know,
so if someone says, because that same person who says, let's say they said, but Rabbi, it says it right here. If so, a congregant comes up to me and says, Father Christian, it says it right here. They should be put to death. Well, whoa. Okay. Do you want to go do that?
Yes, but
and they're
also,
probably be like, well, absolutely not. So, well, Scripture does say that.
Yes, but,
and these are the purity laws too.
Yes. No, I get it. And
a lot of those purity laws don't follow.
It's important for us to recognize that. Look, it's written in Leviticus. Leviticus, if we look at it from a scholarly understanding, was written by the priests. Right. It's Levitical. Right. Which means that there was something there for the priests to be able to exert themselves. Secondly, I think we also have to take it from the perspective that, you know, if we're going to take everything literally, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, divine retribution, you do something bad to me, I'm going to do the exact same to you. I don't believe in that because I believe in responsibility and accountability. You know, indulge me for 1 second, if you would. Years ago, I had a 13-year-old girl who came into my office, and this was actually her Torah portion for her bat mitzvah. And she came into my office in tears and said, she slammed the door and said, Rabbi, my text says a man shall not lie with a man as he does a woman, which is our traditional understanding that we are against homosexuality, homosexuality has nothing to do with lesbianism, okay? Nothing there about a woman shall not lie with a woman as she does a man, right? And she said, if this is true and if this is what we believe, and again, this is a 13-year-old girl, looked at me straight in the face and said, I want out. I want out. And I will never come back to Judaism again if this is what we believe. And I said, you know what? As we've all discussed for the last 45 minutes, from Tammy and from myself, from a progressive Jewish perspective, you know, this is what, at least from an individual perspective, we believe. And I remember saying to her, if it is that bothersome to you, write about it. And she wrote a 25-minute speech on why, as progressive Jews, we just cannot accept it. And it may not be for you. It may not be for you, but the major issue is you cannot judge somebody else.
Sure. I mean, there's the Bible says a lot of things, and there's a lot of purity laws in Leviticus that we do not follow anymore. And as a Christian, so we believe that Jesus is the fulfillment of the law, right? Mm-hmm. And so if Jesus is the fulfillment of the law, he said it all comes down to two: to love your God, love God with your whole heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's key. Love your neighbor as yourself. So it comes down to love no matter what. Jesus talks about a lot of things. He talks about money. He talks about divorce. He says some pretty big things about divorce, yet as the church, we tend to not stand there on the street corner mm-hmm. and say that all divorcees are going to hell mm-hmm. If it's not about adultery. That's the only time Jesus says it's okay. But yet we pinpoint this thing about homosexuality, and this is my struggle with it. I struggle with this. It's messy. I do my own study on Scripture. But I know that for me, Jesus, who's the Messiah for me, never talks about it.
right? And we'll say, well, Father Christian, he refers to Genesis when he says that a man shall leave his mother and cleave to his wife. And that's quoting Genesis, though. That's still not Jesus's words. So if Jesus is not going to spend, he talks about a lot of things he thought were very, very important for us to know, and he never brings up homosexuality. So if my Lord and Savior is not going to focus on it, then why should I spend the spiritual energy? And that's where, for me, it's like there's so much need in this world, so much love that is needed in this world, that we spend lots of money and time and spiritual energy on this, no matter if we're not there yet, if we still think it's weird or wrong or whatever. This is going to sound just trite or whatever, but there's really big fish to fry in this world. Mm-hmm. And do we want to go there? Do we really think this is something that's going to really degrade our world or bring us down? So it's when we start playing the Bible game, this is where I struggle with, is that, well, we shouldn't also be playing football because we're not supposed to touch a pig, right? So the pig skin, we can't do that. I mean, we shouldn't wear leather shoes. I mean, there's a whole lot of stuff that we can't just do a cafeteria Bible and just take and pick whatever causes us to because this touches my heart really badly because I don't like gay people, you know? I mean, I get it. There's scripture there we need to work through. We need to continue to have this dialogue. But the Bible says a lot of things. So if we go down that road, we're going to have to get real literal. Mm-hmm. And not everyone's going to be happy because were those laws, those purity laws, were they contextual for that time in that context? So, Tammy, for you, for yourself, again, I bring this back to you, is that when – because I want to go a little further and pay attention to Leah's note, because she was right to keep us on track, because, a priest and a rabbi, we talk too much.
The priest talks too much.
Can we get, like, in the Dem debate, how much minutes have been dedicated to each person? Mike, do you have that?
I will go back through the minutes, yes.
Thank you. So Ms. Tammy, so yes. Your process of when you have you spent a lot of time with all of these pieces of scripture to look through them, to study them, or what has been your process? Because you're a devoted Jew and devoted to scripture, you're working on your doctorate in it.
So, the challenging thing for me is this is a really easy text to grab. It's an easy text to grab in hatred and anger. Do I spend a lot of time on this particular text? Only when I'm doing something like this. Because this particular text doesn't have the meaning for me that it does for someone who is trying to use it against me. When I read, like I said, before, when I study Torah, when I study scripture, I am assuming that for me as a modern day Jew, I need to look for the love, I need to look for the acceptance, I need to approach all text assuming that we are not condemning an entire people. We talk about the laws in the Torah, in the Bible, in Scripture. If we were to apply every law in our society outside of Scripture, every single law that has ever been on the books, we wouldn't be where we are today. Yeah. I wouldn't be able to vote.
That's a good point.
So we can't hold on to these old beliefs, to these old things that are condemning people. Just like the civil rights movement, we have to stand up, we have to speak out. Just because someone is different from us does not make them any less than us.
Amen, sister. Because as we know, the Bible was used to support slavery. You bring up civil rights,
Absolutely.
And it's been used to condemn women. It's been used for a lot of things, right, to make us unequal. We have a phone caller, and I think as a phone caller, you're going to love to hear from. So Ms. Torrey is calling in. Ms. Torrey, welcome to the radio show. Can you introduce yourself and how you might know the team here on A Priest and a Rabbi?
Sure. I am Torrey Goldstein. I am Tammy Kaiser's wife.
Hi, baby.
And hey, honey. I love you.
I love you, too.
I just wanted to call in and thank you guys for taking the initiative to open up a dialogue around this subject and inviting Tammy in to speak on behalf of, our family and the Reform, Jewish movement within Martin County. And thank you, Rabbi Durbin. I've enjoyed listening, and I just wanted to say that I love you, Tammy.
I love you, baby. Thank you.
Tori, while we have you on the air,
can
you speak to as well as just, again, this is a theme that we have is just in religious households sometimes or communities, you get a wide range of beliefs. How have you had to deal with the tension or any time folks being open about their own disagreement with your lifestyle?
Yeah,
in your marriage?
I'm always open to have a conversation with anyone regarding their stance, whether it be pro or questions regarding it. I feel passionately that my sexuality and just who I am is a pretty minimal part of me. As far as the previous caller and Tammy speaking to, I happen to be Jewish, and I've had, previous partners that have been and haven't been, but I hold so dearly that my Judaism is what brought me to Tammy. We met in a synagogue that I grew up in, and had we not had that connection as a part of our lives, I wouldn't have met her. And so I love that about her being Jewish and me being Jewish. I've faced obvious, I present a certain way, which so people, when they meet me, they will automatically know and or assume that I am gay. And so that has brought upon its own challenges, but I meet any type of hate with open arms and confidence and love.
Wow. That's powerful stuff. And Tori, I would love to ask you another question, but we are just 2 minutes out of time here. And we haven't even gone as far below the surface as we have liked to on this show. So there will definitely be a part two at some point in the future. And we'd love to have you call in or even in the studio, because it's be great to hear more. So thank you so much for calling in. God bless you. And, thank you for allowing your wonderful and beautiful wife to be on the show with us.
Oh, anytime. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. All right.
It looks like your quote is almost up for speaking, though.
Oh, my gosh. It's just like I'm over here with Kamala Harris. So, all right. So here we are. This is our show is closed. But listen, again, you can find us on the podcast, A Priest and a Rabbi. Please subscribe, like, leave a comment. I know we just skimmed the surface. There's more scripture to talk about. We could talk about Sodom and Gomorrah and what that all means. But most importantly, my gosh, Tammy, thank you so much.
Thank you.
It was great to have you on here. Your vulnerability, your openness, your intellect, your wisdom, but most importantly, your love, because it comes down to the humanity of us being brothers and sisters, all being children of God, made in the image of God. That's what we celebrate here, and to have this dialogue with us and to be so open to it.
Thank you.
So, Rabbi, any closing thoughts, my brother?
Well, I think that's just it. It's just what you had said, which is let us take the opportunity to love one another and to embrace all facets of life.
See you next Friday.